Malachi chapter number 4 this morning. Malachi chapter number 4. You don't probably hear a whole lot preached out of the book of Malachi. That's got some very profound passages in this little book. There's only 4 chapters in the book of Malachi. Malachi was the last prophet of God before the silence came. And from Malachi until the Gospels, when the Lord Jesus was born, was 400 years of silence. No one heard from God in 400 years. And so when we come to chapter 4 of the book of Malachi, Malachi is kind of giving a farewell address to the nation of Israel. He's giving them the last message they'd hear for 400 years before John the Baptist came on the scene, before the Lord Jesus came on the scene. And so here you find in Malachi chapter number 4, and begin reading with me in verse number 1. I'll let you be seated this morning. You've been up and down a lot, so I'll let you sit down. The Bible said in chapter number 4, in verse number 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven." Now watch this. If you sit here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you better pay attention, because he's talking about you right here. He's talking about those that don't know Christ right here in this first verse. He says that, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." You're gonna be headed to a place that's gonna burn forever, my friend. That place is called hell. It's still here. It's still in existence. It's not gone away with. You don't hear a lot of preachers preach on it, but there is a place called hell. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. You'll end up in one or the other. You make that choice while you're living. Every day you live is another opportunity for you either to die and go to heaven or die and go to hell. You need to make that decision while you're still breathing air, while you still got mental capacity, while you still are able to utter a sentence. You need to make that decision now. He says, if not, he said, the wicked will burn like the stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come smite the earth with a curse. Malachi says in chapter 4, verse 5, there's going to be a second coming of Elijah. And beloved, he is going to return. The Bible says in Revelation, I believe he'll be one of those witnesses that the Bible says him, and I believe Enoch will be the two that'll go out and preach the gospel during the tribulation period. But I want you to see this, beloved, in verse number 2 this morning. Notice there, the Bible said, Malachi said, "For the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Notice there how he uses the word son. It is a capital S-U-N. And beloved, when you see something like that in your Bible, it has to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. This, my friend, is talking about Christ. And he says that the Son is going to rise with healing in his wings. I want to preach to you on the thought this morning, my friend. The sun is coming up in the morning. Thank God, one of these glad days, I'm glad that somebody put on the sign, probably it was Jonathan, that put on the sign, the rapture. And thank God there's coming a day when the Son of God's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise, the living's going to be changed. And my friend, we're going to leave out of here. Notice, if you would please, the Son of Righteousness. Now I want to preach to you this morning on that simple thought. The sun is coming up in the morning. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for the choir music today. God, I want to thank you for the good piano playing and for the organ music and then also for the bass trumpet player. I thank you, God, that we've got some musicians here. Oh, God, you know, last Sunday night when I preached, we didn't have a piano player in a big church. But, Lord, I want to thank you that today you blessed us with a good pianist, a good organist, a good bass player. We're blessed with some folks today that love God, that'll sing the praises of Zion. And I pray, oh, Heavenly Father, that you'd bless now as we try to preach thy word today. I pray for the unction of God. I ask you, Lord, that you'd anoint us afresh and anew. I pray, oh, Heavenly Father, bind every evil presence, every evil spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the blood of the Lamb. I command every evil spirit, every evil force, to leave this place, to cease and desist. They have no right of way here. May everybody's hearts and minds be turned upon the things of God today. Save that one lost. Save that one that's under conviction. Reclaim that one that's backslidden. That one today that perhaps has walked away from God. May this be a glad day, a revival in their heart and in their soul. And Father, we'll thank you. We'll rejoice in the goodness of God, for you make it all things possible. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. Look this way, beloved. I'm preaching on the sun is coming up in the morning. Notice, if you would, in the book of Malachi. Malachi lived in a very dark day in the nation of Israel. Many were sick and discouraged in the day that Malachi lived. God had given him a burden. Look in chapter 1 of the book of Malachi in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Malachi had been given a burden from the Lord. And this nation of Israel, they had backslidden on God, turned their back on the Holy One of Israel, walked away from the things of God. They had forsaken him. But yet, beloved, in chapter 1, verse number 2, "Yet, my friend, the Bible said, I loved you, saith the Lord." Can I tell you something, my friend? The old devil doesn't love you this morning. The things of Satan may have the allurements of this world, but only one that loves you, and that's the Lord God Almighty. Thank God. You might say, "Preacher, I've done this and I've done that." I want to tell you this morning, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be cleansed and free from all sin. I'm thankful for the blood that washes every sin away, not just part, but thank God, all in whole. We are washed in the precious blood. And beloved, no matter how far down you've gone, no matter what you have done in this life, thank God, he still loves you. He loves you when you're up. He loves you when you're down. He loves you when you're good. He loves you when you're bad. He loves you when you've walked away from God. He loves you when you're close up to him. He said, "I've loved you, saith the Lord God." Notice there, but notice he says in chapter 3 and verse number 2, Malachi prophesies a day about the coming of the Lord. And throughout the book of Malachi, it has to do with that great and terrible, dreadful day of the coming of the Lord. If you believe he's coming back again, say amen. I believe he's coming back, and I believe it's right now, even at the doors. Chapter number 3 and verse number 2, the Bible said, "But who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap." There's coming a day, beloved, that God says you'll stand before him. Who will be able to abide when you stand before the Lord? Now, Malachi said this. It may look dark. It may look dismal. It may look like the sun is never going to shine again. I don't know about you. Yesterday, thank God for the rain. Before I say any more, I'm glad for the rain. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I thought yesterday it was raining when I got up. It was raining all during the day. It was raining when I went to bed last night. Friend, it rained all day long. And you wondered, will the sun ever shine again? Friend, I want to tell you something. It may look dark and it may look dismal in your life. It may look like the storm clouds have rolled in and they're there to stay. But honey, I want to tell you this morning that the sun's coming up in the morning. One of these days, thank God, the sun is going to rise again. The Bible said in chapter 4 of Malachi, the sun will rise with healing in his wings. Oh, listen, beloved, have you ever wondered in the dark hours of the midnight? Have you ever wondered when you're going through a trial? Have you ever wondered when you're going through cancer treatments? When you're going through financial difficulties? Have you ever wondered, will the sun ever shine again? It looks like you get one kid well and another one gets sick. You wonder, will the sun ever shine again? It looks like you take one step forward and two steps backwards. Will the sun ever shine again? I'm here to tell you this morning, the sun is coming up in the morning. What a blessing to know that, thank God, when he comes, things will be different. Now, beloved, this morning, notice about four or five things. When the sun comes up, sighing and trouble will flee away. And when I talk about the sun coming up, I'm not talking about the ball of fire. I'm talking about the Son of God. Say amen. He's coming up in the morning. One of these mornings, the eastern sky is going to split. One of these mornings, the Son of God's going to step off. He's going to give a shout, the voice of the archangel, and we that know him, we're going home to be with him. The sun is coming up in the morning. When he comes in that morning, sighing and sorrow will flee away. The Bible said in the book of Ezekiel chapter number 9 and verse number 4, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, and they that cry for the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Job said it so well. He said, man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. The Bible says this, my friend, while we're in this world, while we're in this body, we will have tribulation. We will have trouble. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be disease. There's going to be some things you just can't figure out. And the psalmist David said in Psalm chapter 30 and verse number 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm glad to tell you, honey, as the Bible said, weeping may, but joy will. You may go to bed tonight with a broken heart. You may wet your pillow with some tears, but I'm glad to tell you that weeping may endure for the nighttime, but joy comes in the morning. And when the sun comes up, thank God, all the sorrow and sighing and trouble will flee away. The Word of God tells us that God himself one day is going to take that omnipotent handkerchief, and the Bible said over in Revelation that he'll wipe all the tears away from our eyes. Aren't you glad of that, my friend, that God's going to wipe away all the broken heart? Oh, you might have cried over tears of a broken heart, over a wayward son or a wayward daughter, or cried over a sickly body, but thank God, he's going to take that handkerchief, wipe the tears away. Oh, what a blessing. When the sun comes up in the morning, there'll not be any sorrow nor sighing, for it'll flee away. Second of all, this morning, notice, when the sun comes up, Satan will be left behind. mind. Can I get an amen somewhere? Thank God. When the sun comes up in the morning, Satan and all of his demons and devils of hell, they'll be left behind. We're going to a place where the devil can't find us. We're headed for the celestial city of God, where he cannot enter into. He'll not be able to cross the bloodline. He'll not be able to enter that celestial city of God. We're coming to a place where God Almighty reigns forever and forever. Satan, the Bible says, wants to sift us as wheat. I tried to do a little reading about that yesterday. The Bible said that Jesus looked at Peter one day and said to Peter, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat. Now listen, in biblical times, in Bible days, the way that they would separate the wheat from the chaff, they'd go out and they'd harvest the wheat, they'd cut the wheat, they'd bring it in, and then here's what they do. They take that wheat and they throw it up in the air, and when they throw it up in the air, the wind would catch the chaff and blow the chaff away. Then the wheat would fall down to the ground. Now listen to me, is that when that happens, the wheat would have some debris in it. Sometime it'd be some rocks. Sometime it'd be some pebbles. Sometime it'd be some trash that'd get in the wheat. And so then they need to sift the wheat. You see, my friend, the chaff represents the lost man, but the wheat represents the saved man. Here it is. When God says Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, when the wheat falls back down to the ground and it's got that trash in it, God wants to get the trash out. Say amen. God doesn't want any bread that's got it. You wouldn't want to bite down in a biscuit this afternoon and pull out some trash. Say amen. Listen, my friend, you don't want something in your bread that is a foreign object. And so when they get that wheat down on the ground, they've got to sift it out. Here's what they do. They put it in a sifter. I can imagine like an old flour sifter. They put that in a sifter and they begin to sift it out. Guess what happens, friend? The wheat falls through, and the only thing left behind is the rocks and the debris and the trash. Can I tell you something, friend? Is that sometimes God will allow Satan to sift you. You know what he's doing? He's getting out the trash. He's getting out the junk. He's getting out the rocks. He's getting out the hard things. And how you respond to the sifting will make you either a better Christian or it'll make you a bitter Christian. When troubles come your way and trials come your way, heartaches come your way, remember this: God in his great mercy is sifting you to get all the trash out. Thank God. Listen, and then we can be pure and clean and holy and right for the Master. Oh, what a blessing. My friend, we're headed to a place when the sun comes up that Satan will not be able to follow us anymore. Notice the third thing this morning. When the sun comes up, it'll mean shouting will be in order. Can I get a good amen right there? That's the weakest shouting I've heard. So, listen, don't pay attention to the clock, because we, praise God, we're going to eat right after this. So, honey, just hang on. We're going to get out yonder. I mean, I sat back there in my office, smelled that bread a while ago, and I even asked some of them, I said, what y'all cooking out here? And they, I'll forgive you of it. Y'all come down the front and have to do penance or whatever else. Say amen right there. But they wasn't real truthful with me a while ago. Amen? But I want to tell you something. Is that the Bible said when the sun comes up, when the Lord comes back, thank God there's going to be some shouting going on. Bible said in Luke 19:37, Jesus come down off the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd, all the disciples, they were shouting and they were praising God, the Bible said, with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had done. They said, whoa, glory to God, hallelujah. I mean, son, they got happy about what God was doing. Christians ought to get happy what God does. Amen. And listen, this is the quietest place you'll ever live in. If you die and go to hell, there'll be weeping and gnashing and crying. But thank God, if you go to heaven, there's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be shouting. There's going to be singing in heaven. But everybody don't like that. And Pharisees came to the master, and he said, "Master, Lord, rebuke thy disciples while they're making too much of a racket." And Jesus said to them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." The Lord Jesus said to those religious folk of that day, those folk that didn't like shouting, those folk that didn't like praising the Lord, he said this. He said, if I were to tell the disciples to be quiet, he said, them rocks over yonder, they'd lift their voice. They'd begin to cry. May I tell you something? I don't want any rocks hollering from me. I want to do that for myself. Amen. I want to rejoice. I want to praise the Lord. I want to say thank God that I'm saved. Amen. What a blessing that is. The Bible said in Psalm 150 verse 6, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." I want everybody to do something for me right now, would you? I want everybody to do this. Stop what you're doing. I want you to do this. Would you do this with me? Did everybody do that? If they didn't, there, I'll go around and check the pulse. Say amen. Everybody in here get a gulp of air? Say amen. Amen. Let's try it again if you didn't. All right, do it with me now. You know what God said? Let everything that hath breath do what? Praise the Lord. Brother Mays was preaching one time. A lady come to it and she said, "Brother Mays, I want to let you know, I just don't feel like praising the Lord." He said, "Then quit breathing God's air." My friend, this morning, if you don't feel like praising God, if you don't feel like lifting your voice, then quit breathing. But thank God, he said, everything that has breath, everything that has breath, let them lift up their voice and proclaim, "Jesus saves." Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. I was out in New Mexico last year several times. Took the young folks. We went down to Old Town Albuquerque. Old Town Albuquerque is the original part of Albuquerque. Down there where they got the stone type pueblo and all that kind of stuff, them stores, dates back way back at the late 1850s and all 60s. And down there in downtown or Old Town Albuquerque, out in front of one of them stores, I mean, there's this wooden Indian. They got a chain around it so nobody will steal. You say, "How do you know he's a Baptist, friend?" Listen, why is it that we can go to a ball game and Duke or Carolina be playing, or Wake Forest or State? I don't care if it's a high school team, but you go to any old ball game, and friend, they'll be hooping and hollering and shouting. But friend, we come to the house of God and we act like we're a wooden Indian instead of act like a wild Indian. Listen, everything that has breath, just say hallelujah, praise the Lord. When the sun comes up, it'll be a time of shouting. Quickly, number four. When the sun comes up, it'll be a time our loved ones will be reunited with us. I know some of you are homesick for your loved ones. Some of you, your loved ones have already passed on to the other side. But thank God there's coming a day when the sun comes up. Oh, we'll be reunited with them once again. Reunited. Quickly this morning, let me give you. I ain't got time to give them all to you. I'm going to give you the last one here. I shared this with my wife last night. Turn over to Revelation 19. And I'll finish this up. But when the sun comes up, there's going to be a summer to go to. Now, I want to tell you from right now, thank you for the dinner that y'all prepared. Thank you for what you've done for me. I don't deserve it. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I'm going to enjoy that dinner out yonder. Amen. I've already made plans and preparation in my mind. Well, there's coming a supper. My friend, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 19, listen to verse number 7 if you have your Bible open. Here's what the Bible said. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. In verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I don't know about y'all, but every time that we have a family get together, maybe I'm the only one, but every time we have a get together, then you know the first question that I have. I mean, is it gonna be hamburger, hot dog, or is it gonna be fried chicken, mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese? What's it gonna be like? You know, I kind of want to get them taste buds. You know, kind of prepared. You know, and especially if it's gonna be hamburger, hot dog, then I don't want to go eat two or three hot dogs right before I go. Say amen right there. So I got to thinking about this supper, and I wondered, I tried to find out what is going to be at that supper. What are they going to have to eat at the marriage supper? He said, preacher, we don't know what it's, I don't know what it's all going to be, but I believe I figured out a couple things. And the way I kind of figured this out, I read about a Jewish wedding ceremony. And you know, every part of the church and Christ, he said that we are the bride of Christ. Now hang with me now, understand that. We are the saved ones living today, the saved ones that have died from the church age. We are the bride of Christ. Amen, you got that? Some of you did. Let me rephrase that. The church, when it started on the day of Pentecost, until Jesus comes back, everybody that's saved in this age, that dispensation, is going to make up the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, he told us about the wedding ceremony. He told us about how they would come and get the bride and get the, you know, all that. And so I got to figuring, well, if that's the case, then what would a real Jewish wedding be like? And this is what I found. I read where in a Jewish wedding ceremony, after they go through those the ceremony part, then comes the supper. And I read where the first thing the bride and the bridegroom do is that they have a piece of baked bread. They said it's usually a twisted, braided piece of bread, egg based. And together, the bride and bridegroom would take that bread to the guests in order to get to know them. And in order to welcome them, they take over and they go over to the guests and they offer a piece of that bread that was prepared for that marriage supper. And all the bridegroom and the bride are the ones that's taking the bread over and giving it to the guests. Friends, can I tell you something? It's that all the Old Testament saints, they're the guests at the wedding. I mean, Elijah and Daniel and all the Old Testament saints, Noah and Jonah, all those fellas, Abraham, all Isaac, all those guys, all the women, Sarah and Esther, they're the guests. They're not part of the bride. You with me so far?
to say after they passed the bread out. Then they said that then they'd have a lot of music, lively music. Thank God, amen. The Bible said they sang a new song, not some old song, but a new song of praise to the Lamb of God. But then here's what I like. After all that festivities, and after all that, then they said that they would, at a Jewish wedding ceremony, they would take three goblets. One goblet would be for the groom, one for the bride. They would drink from that, but then they would take and pour that wine into one silver goblet. And from that one goblet, both the bride and the groom would drink from that wine. You know what Jesus said at the Last Supper? The Lord Jesus, sitting there with his disciples, said this in Matthew chapter 26. He said, and he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But Jesus Christ himself said, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Hey, woo, glory to God. We're going to sit down at the table of the Lord. We're going to have the feast of God. We're going to be fed from the manna. But thank God, we're going to drink from the cup, my friend, of the Lord Jesus. That means fellowship forever. Hallelujah to God. What a blessing when the sun comes up in the morning. When the sun comes up, though, there'll be separation. Some folks may not understand this, but when the sun comes up, when the rapture takes place, there'll be separation. There'll be mothers and daddies that'll be separated from their children. Y'all realize this? I believe this without a doubt. Hear me out and I'm done. I believe this, that any child under the age of accountability... You say, what is that age, preacher? I don't know. There's not a mystical age. It's not 11 years old and not 12 years old, as some churches teach. It's not the age that you join the church, but it's the age in which you understand right from wrong, and you understand that you need to be saved, the age of accountability. But what about all those babies? What about all those children that's 1 year old and 2 years old and 3 years old? They have not come to that age of accountability. What about those babies that are born in the nursery? What about those aborted babies? What about all those children that have Down syndrome, that have some type of mental disease where they don't understand? They're covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? David said when his baby died, I cannot bring the baby back, but I can go unto him. Oh, what a blessed thought. But listen, when the sun comes up in the morning, I believe this, there'll be some mamas and some daddies that'll go to that crib, and that baby which they love will be gone. The raptures take place and the baby is gone and they're left behind. There'll be some wives that will roll over, and all we'll find is nothing but the husband's clothes. When the rapture takes place, there'll be some separation. There'll be some families be torn apart. There'll be some homes torn apart. Because why? When the sun comes up in the morning, it's going to be a time of separation. Separation. I wonder this morning, are you ready for the sun to come up? Are you ready?